The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, we are jam-packed as we head towards hour number two, live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Greeny. Graz is here. Tannenbaum, Ninkovich. Woj is here with enormous breaking news. Cindy, roll it. There's too much to do here for 1 hour to get it all in. We're getting up with the sensational stuff of sports. Serena stars. The judge rises. Oh, what a night it was around the world of sports, and you will see it all right off the top. Then, the Niners did what with Jimmy G? Does this major move mean everything is now different in the NFC? We've got the insight. Plus, Lamar, say it ain't so. He's all over Twitter. Did he just choose his next team? We got to get to it all, and we will in the next 60 minutes as we get up with you, starting right now with her, the legend Serena Williams, on the court last night at the U.S. Open here in New York for what could have been her final singles match ever. And everyone who is anyone in this town was there.
The greatest of all time, Serena Williams.
The daughter there in the matching outfit, spectacular. The scene was extraordinary. And I will tell you what, early on, Danka Kovanec had Serena in a little bit of trouble. Kovanec was up a break early, but then Serena, with that huge return, got the break back. And from there, she really took over. And you could feel the momentum. The crowd was all behind Serena. There's an ace, sets up a first set point here for her, and another big serve. She takes the first 6-3, and she's feeling it, you could tell. And everything is moving in that direction. Second set was more a coronation than a competition. She's up 3-2 here, and a big serve sets up a 4-2 lead in the second. Now here's match point at 5-3. Serena, she moved as well last night as we've seen her move in years. And if she moves like that, she's got a shot to make this a very interesting week. We'll see. We'll worry about that tomorrow. For now, let's celebrate another win, 6-3, 6-3, and they celebrated her on the court when it was done.
Yeah, it's been a very hard decision because I think when you're passionate about something and you love something so much, it's always hard to like walk away. Sometimes I think it's harder to walk away than to not, and that's been the case for me. And so I've been trying to decide for a little while what to do. I think now's the time. You know, I just have a family, and
family.
There's other chapters in life, and you know, I call it an evolution. Just keep coming out and supporting me as long as I'm here. Know that I love you so much, and I'm so excited to be here.
What a night it was, and it sets up at least one more. Serena's now 21-0 in opening matches at the U.S. Open. How about this? She has won a match in a Grand Slam in her 20s, in her 30s, in her 40s, and in her teens is the one I left out. So teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. She faces the number two player in the world tomorrow in the second round. She's also playing doubles with her sister Venus. So still some more action from Serena at the U.S. Open. So that was last night. Also last night, we'll make this your morning wake-up call. Aaron Judge at the plate, Michael Kay on ES at the mic.
The 1-1. High drive. Left center. Trout back. Looking up. See ya, number 50. Aaron Judge connects for his 50th home run of the year. And it's 4-3 Angels.
Did I mention this was an Angels home game? Did you hear the crowd? Would you ever know that that wasn't in the Bronx? Anyway, the Yankees would wind up losing 4-3. Judge, however, with the 50 home runs, he's one of three Yankees all time to have multiple 50 home run seasons. Look at the company he's keeping, Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. And the chase for Maris is very much on. We'll keep a close eye on it as the season continues. Meanwhile, to the huge news from the NFL yesterday that just stopped everybody in their tracks, Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners agreeing to a restructured one-year contract that will keep Jimmy G in San Francisco this year. The contract has a no trade in it. It has a no tag in it. That means Garoppolo will have the freedom to leave in 2023 and to choose where he wants to go if he is still traded this year. For the moment, he is Trey Lance's backup. So if someone looked at this and says, okay, Garoppolo will be a 49er this entire season, is that an overreaction?
It is, but of course we didn't think he'd still be a 49er right now, and he is, so anything can happen. But the no trade clause, as you said, just pretty much gives him veto power. If the 49ers work out a trade to a team that he doesn't want to go to, he can say no. Everybody who follows sports knows there's no trade clause. But it's important to understand that this does not keep him on the Niners. Like, if the reason he's still on the Niners is because the trade market did not form this summer. If a trade market forms in September or October, the deadline is November 2nd to trade guys. So it's still possible he could be on the move. And look, I mean, anything can happen. Trey Lance could get hurt. Trey Lance could play badly. They have an option that they know they can go to who has been a good one for them in the past. So that is one consequence of this. I don't think it was a driving factor.
Right.
I think he'd have been traded if there had been a good enough market, but it is a potential benefit. And as Nico said last hour, it's a win-win. It's good for him and it's good for them, given what the circumstances turned out to be.
Correct. It is a win-win in most ways. And I guess sometimes in life it's about whether you see the glasses half full or the glasses half empty. Me, I've got like a sip left. So here's the way I'm looking at this, okay, Nico? And that is, you're a veteran on that team, and this season doesn't start out well. And Lance, who we all think is going to be a great player someday, looks like the young player that he is and struggles a little bit early. Now you're a team leader in that locker room. What are you doing?
Hey, let's get Jimmy in here.
Who are you saying that to?
I'm going to the head coach. I'm going to whoever. I'm going to freaking Lynch.
You're walking in the coach's office and saying what?
We don't have much time here. I don't know how many more years I got. You know, if you're an 8, 9, 10 year player and you've never even experienced a playoff game or you've never been to a Super Bowl, you want to feel that. You want to get there. So, you know, this is a win-win, especially for Jimmy, because it gives him a little bit more control over the situation. And as a football player, you usually have no control over anything except for your play and your performance. So now it gives him a little bit more control. It gives him a little bit more time to rehab his shoulder with the people that he's been doing rehab with. So he had a shoulder surgery, probably affected his trade. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're another team.
Yeah.
And you're looking at a guy that just had a shoulder redone, you're like, maybe we'll pump the brakes on trading for him until we see him play. So, again, now you have a veteran quarterback on your roster that the team loves, the locker room loves. Everyone in that building loves Jimmy G. And it's not just because he's handsome. He's a great teammate.
Yeah.
You know, so, again, he's a great teammate. He's won. He's got a high winning percentage. He's a great quarterback, a guy that you would want on your team. So if Lance has an issue, of course you go to Jimmy G, a guy that's taken you to places you haven't been in a long time.
And so that is a good problem to have, maybe, but it's a problem nonetheless. And Mike T, I liked the story you told earlier this morning about a player, a wide receiver that maybe every football fan doesn't remember. I obviously do as a fan of the Jets, but how sometimes these moves have unintended consequences.
That's right, Greedy. We cut Jericho Cotri, who was a player that was just diminished. He was done, and I had about 8 or 9 vets come up to me and said, you made a mistake, Mike. He solved a lot of problems in the locker room that you didn't know about. And it's your locker room, guys like Nico, that keeps the front office in checks and balances. And the quarterback position, Greeny, is a developmental position. Aaron Rodgers barely played for the first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre failed in Atlanta. Josh Allen struggled as a rookie. Trey Lance has great talent, and he's inexperienced. And what's going to happen is at some point when he stubs his toe and it's Trent Williams and Nick Bosa and all these great veterans, and they say to Kyle Shanahan or their GM John Lynch, hey, let's go win right now. Look at that graphic that we had up there. Jimmy Garoppolo wins a lot of games. This is going to cause a problem at some point this season. He's too productive as a starting quarterback to ignore that stat. And at some point, when Trey Lance inevitably stumbles, people like Nico, Trent Williams, and Nick Bosa of the 49ers are going to say something.
Look, the reality is that a lot of fans don't think Jimmy G is a terrific player, and a lot of dopes in the media like me don't think that he's a great player. But you just made the point. His teammates do, right? His teammates love him, and they believe in him, and they have won with him, and they know that.
Because you see him every day. And as a teammate, when you're on the field, and you're going through practice, and you're going through the offseason, and you're going through 7-on-7, and you're watching this quarterback command a huddle and throw the football all over the field with accuracy, fans, they only see the bad stuff. You know, the good stuff, that's, he was good. But he's been hurt too much. He's been hurt. And, yeah, he's had some injuries. You know, he had his ACL and he's had the shoulder.
Yeah.
But when he's on the field, he has a winning percentage that's right up there with Peyton Manning. Granted, there's a lot of game difference, but still, he still wins.
He wins. I mean, that is the fact. So now what, Graz? We got this part of it done. Again, what was the reaction you heard from people out there? I was stunned. When I got this on my phone yesterday, my first reaction was, this can't be right. What did people around the league say to you about
it? It was very surprising because I think there had been an anticipation widespread that the 49ers would eventually cut Jimmy Garoppolo. I think what no one realized, even the 49ers, was how far he was willing to cut the contract. Like, he was getting $24.2 million non-guaranteed. Now he gets to $6.5 million. I think, remember, he and his agent had permission to seek a trade.
Right.
So if there had been a better deal than that out there for him with another team, they would know about it. So they find out there's not, so they come back and do the deal at the 49ers number. It's the best offer they have. So I think people were surprised it got to that point.
And one last time with feeling, because Mike T has had Jimmy G traded to a bunch of different places this entire offseason. You've been singing his praises, and rightly so. The Cleveland Browns were obviously the team, and you told me this morning, that both sides were hoping would create a market here. The Niners were hoping the Browns would get involved. Jimmy was hoping they'd get involved. Didn't happen. Was that a mistake?
A massive one. It's 11 games they're going to be missing Deshaun Watson. And while Jacoby Brissett is a good football player, Greeny, I am hard-pressed to understand how they're not better having Brissett and Jimmy G for the first 11 games. Jimmy G's a winner. He could have gone there, played. It would have helped his trade value or his market in the spring of 2023. It was an absolute win-win, and I think this could hurt the Browns, especially if Jacoby Brissett stumbles at all.
Wouldn't be the first time the Garoppolo-Brissett combination got a team through a suspension, right?
Yeah, I was involved in that. Wow. I was involved in that.
That is remarkable.
I mean, hey, it was Tom Brady, 3-1. Yeah. 3-1.
Deflategate, yeah, four games. Suspended as well, but, you know, let's not talk about it.
All right, that's not.
Move on.
It's a very interesting little comparison that you make. In the meantime, let me pause. Woj is in the building, folks. He's ready to go. First, we got Lamar Jackson. He's tweeting about his contract situation. Is he picking his next team already? We have to dive into what he's saying and not saying. And then, as I mentioned, Woj is here. He's got the huge developing story that he broke last night. Why a deal the Knicks made might mean a deal the Knicks don't make. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up on the busiest news morning of the summer, a developing story from the NBA. And so Woj is here with the news that he broke last night, because there's one big shoe we are still waiting to see drop in this offseason filled with drama, and that is the one that belongs to Donovan Mitchell in Utah. And a story that you reported last night about a deal the Knicks and RJ Barrett have come to is good news for Barrett and potentially complicated news for Donovan Mitchell.
That's right, Greeny. R.J. Barrett, 4 years, up to $120 million, his agent Bill Duffy told me last night, on his rookie extension. He's part of that 2019 draft class that went Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and then R.J. Barrett. Mm-hmm. He's gotten off to a terrific start in his Knicks career. The Knicks essentially put a Monday deadline on the Jazz to get a Donovan Mitchell deal done that included R.J. Barrett. And when they didn't, they finalized that. They started to finalize that extension. Now, there's still a pathway to New York and Utah getting a Donovan Mitchell trade done. It becomes complicated with Barrett's new contract. Harder to do, not impossible. But New York and Utah closed the gap on where they were on the pieces that would be in a Donovan Mitchell trade over the weekend and into Monday. And so they've still got a month before training camp if they want to have a deal by opening night. But certainly I think the hangups in a New York-Utah deal continue to be unprotected first-round picks. And Quentin Grimes is a player that Utah would have liked to have in the deal with R.J. Barrett. That was a player that New York has wanted to hold on to. Mm-hmm. But there's still a pathway to a deal. But R.J. Barrett, 4 years, almost $120 million. And a 22-year-old player now, first Knicks player in 23 years to sign a rookie extension. That's remarkable. It tells you how what a difficult road New York has had with making good draft picks and then keeping them. And so for New York, they have R.J. Barrett wrapped up. They still can move toward now reigniting those talks on Donovan Mitchell.
It's remarkable. The last time the Knicks drafted a player and then signed him to an extension was Charlie Ward, who was a Heisman Trophy winning football player.
It's unbelievable.
It's impossible to believe,
but
it's true. So two very quick questions to make sure we follow up. When you say that there was still a pathway to the Knicks and Jazz making a trade for Donovan Mitchell, is there still a pathway that involves R.J. Barrett? Meaning, I'm sure the fans are wondering, does this mean he's now out of those talks completely?
No, there's still a pathway with R.J. Barrett. It just changes the salary cap dynamics of the how much money Utah would have to take back in a deal, salary cap gymnastics. But listen, in a perfect world, New York, they want to be able to keep R.J. Barrett and add Donovan Mitchell to him, to their team. That's very unlikely. Utah's got leverage with Donovan Mitchell in that he's got 3 years left on his deal. Every trade scenario that Utah and New York talked about and got down the road on included R.J. Barrett. But if Barrett's in the deal, New York wants to put less draft assets in. Are there conversations they could still have without Barrett with the other young New York players? Yes, it's possible. But what New York's trying to do here is not just do a deal for Donovan Mitchell, but have enough draft capital left to go out and do a third significant trade, even if it's a year from now or 18 months from now, potentially for a big player who becomes available. They added Jalen Brunson this summer. They'd like to have Donovan Mitchell, but they'll go to camp with, you know, right now, Jalen Brunson, who is their free agent, and then our R.J. Barrett, who at 22 years old, the youngest player to get a $100 million deal in New York.
All right, and then the other thing I wanted your commentary on, and we're all getting set for another big season of NBA Countdown this year, and that means you and me and Jalen Rose. And I just want to ask your opinion. Now, Jalen, a wonderful fundraiser for his school, JRLA, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, this weekend.
Oof.
But it was a golf event. Woj, have you ever seen anyone worse at anything than Jalen Rose is at golf?
Well, I think it speaks to how many jobs Jalen Rose has. The work he does in Detroit at his charter school.
Yes.
The guy just doesn't get time to get out in the links. I think it's obvious.
And I think we are all the better for it, especially the links, of which he left very little, if you take a look at him. So this was, he actually had Jack Nicklaus there to help him out after this. And even Jack, I think, gave up on Jalen. Anyway, huge news. Woj, awesome, as always. Thank you very much. So big news from the NBA, not so much from Jalen there. Now back to football, where the Cowboys' penalty problems have become a big story again. They committed 35 penalties in this preseason. That's more than any other team in the sport. In a conversation with our Michelle Beisner-Buck, Dak Prescott talked about his team's penalty issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's the discipline. It's controlling the little things that you can control, whether it be at practice. More than anything, we just got to stay focused, got to get rid of that first and foremost, and know that we can be a way better team if we get rid of these penalties.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're not doing it. They averaged over 11 penalties a game for nearly 100 yards in the preseason. For context, they had 127 penalties last year. That was leading in the NFL, or last in the NFL, depending on how you look at that. It was the most in a season. since 1999 in Dallas. These are problems. And, you know, Nico, now you came from, you made your legend, if you will, in New England, which is like the most buttoned up organization in football, right? What is this? So when you hear all these penalties and all that, what does it make you think?
Well, I think discipline, and discipline's tough. I mean, if I was more disciplined, I'd have a six-pack, but I don't because I'm undisciplined. So discipline is like a daily, weekly, monthly thing. It's not a switch. You just can't say, oh, yeah, we're going to stop holding. We're going to stop having bad plays. We're going to stop having negative runs. That's something that you do in practice. That's something that the coaches are on the players and corrections and making sure that we're playing penalty free. Because the last time I checked, when you have a lot of penalties, those negative plays turn into longer down and distances, which when you're playing from behind the sticks, it's almost impossible to put together a good drive. And you've seen it. You've seen it in any game where the flags are throwing. When you see the flags, the drives are stalled. So they have to be better, and that starts in practice. And it starts, it's not just like, hey, we're going to have less penalties next week. That doesn't, it's from daily routines of making sure that we're not grabbing, we're not holding, and we're making the right play.
So I like that. And you said it in our meeting this morning, discipline is something you do every day. And what this suggests is either they're not doing it every day, or whatever it is they're doing, it isn't working, Mike. So what does that mean?
It means they could be tuning out their head coach, which is ominous for Coach McCarthy because, again, at the end of the season, Steven and Jerry Jones simply say, hey, here are the answers to the test. Number one in offense, you're doing great there. But clock management has to be fixed, and these penalties are killing us, just as Nico just said. So if I'm Coach McCarthy at some point in training camp, Greeny, I'm benching somebody, I'm cutting somebody, I am sending a message that this is simply unacceptable, and it's alarming they haven't fixed this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like time for something to change, because whatever it is they're doing, this stuff only matters in the preseason when it is a continuation of an obvious problem, Dan, and that's why I think there's been so much reaction to it.
Right, and look, if they get into the season and they're disciplined and they don't commit penalties, we'll sit here and go, you know what, we overreacted, we were wrong, it's the Cowboys, we overreact, it's fine. But my issue is, like, talk about what Mike McCarthy is. He's an overseer head coach. He is not calling the offense. He is not calling the defense. His job is to provide the overarching framework for the team. How was this not your entire offseason focus after a year in which you led the league in penalties? And if it was, to Mike T's point, then they're not getting the message somehow. So if I'm Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones at the end of the year and I'm evaluating, and they don't like to move on from coaches, they're stubborn about it. If I'm evaluating him at the end of the year, that's what I'm looking at, the big picture stuff, because that is his domain.
Look, it's worth another reminder that they have two head coaches in waiting on their staff. They have Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, who is a Super Bowl
and one guy that was in New Orleans that's probably just relaxing right now.
And that's Sean Payton.
Sean Payton would step right into that role. You know, he's been there before.
So there's a lot of that stuff in the air right now as they start their season in Dallas. We'll see what it adds up to. In the meantime, we get to Tampa next, where Tom wants one more ring. But will this be his hardest path to a championship? Are there simply too many issues for even Brady to overcome? Plus, bulletin board material for Notre Dame ahead of Saturday night's showdown with Ohio State. Once and for all, do the Irish have any chance to win? We'll answer that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and we have breaking news from the world of golf. This is not a surprise because these are names that you'd been hearing, but it is now official. The defections from the PGA Tour are continuing. Just moments ago, LIV Golf announced the field for its 4th event of this year. It's this weekend in Boston, and they confirmed that the world's number 2 player, the 2022 Open champion Cam Smith, will be in the field. Also joining LIV this week, the number 19 player in the world from Chile, that's Joaquin Niemann, Harold Varner III, Cameron Tringale, and Mark Leishman. Again, none of these are enormous surprises. We had been hearing for some time that these were possible. Certainly in the person of Cam Smith, it's extremely significant. Now it is official. They have joined LIV. They will be playing starting this weekend. So that's that story. Our next bit of news. It's time for another wake-up call this morning. Albert Pujols inching closer to 700 home runs. Here's Dan McLaughlin of Bally Sports.
The next. Albert lifts it in the air out to deep right. At the wall. Gone! 694 on an opposite field home run. And it's history. The 450th different pitcher that Albert is homered against. Nobody in the game has ever done that. And that baby is number 694.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Dan Graziano tells me 21 years ago yesterday, Serena Williams won a U.S. Open match and Albert Pujols hit a home run on the same day.
21 years.
21 years later, wow. It happens again. And there is Pujols with the 450th different pitcher he has hit a home run against. That is the most in baseball history. All right, let me go back to Mike Tannenbaum here, my general manager. The game is called Panic or Patience, okay? So let's start with the situation in Cleveland. Jacoby Brissett will start for the Browns during Deshaun Watson's 11-game suspension. Should Browns fans be panicked or patient?
We're panicking, Greeny, and it's not about Jacoby Brissett. It's 11 games. There's a long time in the season. They have nothing behind them in terms of Josh Dobbs and Josh Rosen, both two inexperienced quarterbacks. So we're okay with Brissett, but we are very panicked about what happens next in the first 11 games of the season.
Next, let's go to L.A. Matthew Stafford continuing to deal with elbow tendonitis this offseason. Should the fans be panicked or patient?
I would be panicking for the next 5 years, because if this tendon doesn't stay intact, it's over for like a half a decade. If you think about Sean McVay goes into broadcasting, they don't have a first-round pick. The cupboard would be bare without Matt Stafford. So this is the most consequential elbow tendon that we've seen in a long time.
Big words. I like it. One more. Let's go to Brady. Tom Brady returns to a depleted Buccaneers offensive line. Panic or patience?
Patience. We're talking about Tom Brady. He's going to figure it out. He will have the answers to the test. Great pre-snap reads. It's not ideal by any stretch, but they'll be okay. They're going to get Chris Godwin back, Gronk back, and maybe even Ryan Jensen in December.
Now, that's fair. And I think all of us would be inclined to give Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt in practically any circumstance. Maybe any circumstance. But these are interesting times. I want to show this once more. Tom Brady returned from this 11-day absence during training camp. He played a little bit in the preseason game on Saturday night. And then he was asked about being away and the personal nature of it. And here's what he said.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with. So we all have really unique challenges to our life. And, you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on, so. You know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can, and it's a continuous process. So I'm ready to go.
So, look, I mean, as we get older, we all get a little more introspective and all that, and maybe that's all that is, and maybe that's well and good. And he seems to have some things happening in his life away from the game that are weighing on him, whatever those are his business, and we all have dealt with things like that as well. However, as his longtime teammate and longtime friend, a lot of people reached out to me over the weekend and expressed concern over the way he sounded and the way he looked. And does it really feel like he wonders if he made a mistake coming back and whatever else it is? Are you concerned about Tom Brady right now?
I'm not concerned with Tom the football player. But, you know, there's always things outside of the game that are distractions to every – I mean, even everybody, everyday guys that are going to work every day. You're dealing with stuff. And when you have a family, you have children, there's always stuff that are that's pulling you each way. And not only you're Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, you know, he's got other things going on. He's got this branding. He's got everything that he has grown to this point. So, you know, there's pressures involved. And then you know that recently there was – talks of him possibly going to another team that wasn't the Bucs. So now at this point, we've just never seen Tom miss any time really in training camp. And it's vital time really when you're trying to build chemistry with a new offensive line, a new center, which is vital to the function of how he works as a quarterback. Everything's in front of him. So again, it's just concerning because we've never seen Tom miss time. Really?
And we have never seen Tom sort of look and sound like that. So I would ask you, have you? You were his teammate a long time. You saw the good moments and the very few bad ones, comparatively speaking, that he had. But that look on his face, that somewhat defeated body language, it was a little jarring. Have you seen it?
I would never count him out because he's one of the most competitive guys. And when he steps on the field, he's flipping the switch. And, you know, that's the one thing that most athletes have the attribute of, when I step on the field, this is the place where I feel most comfortable. And he's going to go out there and he's going to perform at a high level. I have no doubts about that. But again, those other things, now do they pull away from some of the preparation time and some of the things that you usually do to be prepared to make sure that when you're on the field that you're at your best? And that's the hard time. I mean, I think back to when I was playing and I had two kids and my wife, and you know, they're being pulled each way. You're like, hey, I need to watch another hour of tape.
Right.
And no, I got to go do this doctor. I got to a doctor's appointment for the kid, you know, right. Pediatrician. So it's like, you know, things as you get older, there's a lot of stuff going
balance
on.
Balance is complicated. And that's something that we all deal with in our own ways, but the demands on his time and all the rest of that are obviously somewhat unique in his circumstance. What sorts of things are you hearing?
Well, to the point of the preparation time. See, to me, like, I don't think there should be a race to count Tom Brady. Oh, this is it. It's over now. People have done that and been wrong, and he'll be done when he's done. But to the preparation time, when you talk to people in that building over the last couple of years, what you consistently hear is that when Tom's in the building, everything's great. Everything, you know, everything feels good. He breathes a lot of confidence in everyone around him. If he's not in the building for 11 days in training camp, that has an impact on the rest of the team, whether they say it does or not. If he's in the building, but he's not himself, right? You know what I mean? So, like, I don't, again, it's Tom Brady. He can do anything he wants. But there's enough there that you wonder now as they get ready for the season if they're doing it.
Just a quick cherry. When Tom Brady's on the field and he's telling you what to do, or like, hey, you need to be here. You need to sit here at 10. You need to go this way when the zone's there. Those are vital. That's vital. And it's different than a coach telling you that.
He's Tom Brady. He's doing as much coaching as anybody else is during these practices. Final word.
I think the X factor is this defense has to carry them early. While this offense is a work in progress, be it about injuries or defections, it's not going to be impossible. This team's just going to look a little bit different, especially early.
Now, we're 2 weeks away from finding out. Meanwhile, we are only 1 week away from getting a lot of answers in college football. Oh, what a weekend we have on the horizon coming up here. Key games include this one. The defending national champs, number 3 in the country, Georgia, taking on number 11, Oregon. That game will be played in Atlanta. You will see it on Saturday afternoon. What does Georgia have in store after they win the title? Then you got number 7, Utah, coming off a Pac-12 title and a Rose Bowl berth. They go to the Swamp to take on Florida. The Gators begin the Billy Napier era in Gainesville. That's a monster game. And all of that sets the table for the big one Saturday night. The traditional powerhouses colliding in Columbus, Notre Dame and Ohio State meeting for just the 7th time all time. Now, we're all excited about it. Vegas thinks it's a one-sided affair. Ohio State's a 17.5-point favorite. So that was brought up to Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman yesterday. Here's what he thought of it.
Well, I didn't know that. I'm going to write that down. You said 17.5 points, right? We'll use that in the team meeting today, you know. It's good to know. You know, I haven't paid much attention to the spread, but I remember that one time we were on College Game Day, I said, just keep making go up and up.
All right, and so there he is, and here he is. Here's Joey Galloway, the Ohio State legend and our very own from College Game Day, et cetera. Joey, I just a very quick thought on that. Like, when the coach walks into the team meeting and walks into the locker room and says, hey, we're a 17 and a half. Vegas thinks these guys are so, the whole world says they are almost 3 touchdowns better than us. What does that do to you as a player?
First off, it always makes me laugh because these coaches always make it sound like they don't listen to the media. They don't have time. They're always in meetings. They don't know what's going on in the world. But they never miss when somebody says something about them or their team. I was never a guy that needed these kind of motivational things before a game. You're going on the road to Columbus to play the number two team in the country. You don't need anything extra on the board to get you motivated for that kind of game.
Marcus Freeman knows as well as anybody what he's in store for because he played at Ohio State once upon a time, as you did. So the big question is, can the Irish keep this close? If Notre Dame makes this a very close game, I was talking with Paul Feinbaum and Heather Dinich earlier. If this is a super close game, and let's say Notre Dame loses a heartbreaker in the fourth quarter, that may not really wind up hurting them so much in the long run. But that's the big question. Can they make this a tight battle against Ohio State, Joey? Can they do it?
They can. I love Marcus Freeman. I love what he's done in his short tenure at Notre Dame. He's recruited well. They're still sort of rebuilding, but this is a very talented football team. But keeping this game close, in my opinion, is more about Ohio State. They tend to let teams stay a little closer than people would like to see at times. Minnesota close last year to open the season a lot closer than people would expect. I wouldn't go against Notre Dame in the 17 points, to be honest with you, because Ohio State doesn't tend to blow out teams early in the season, so I'd be a little worried about that. Notre Dame can absolutely keep this game close, but they're going to have to score a lot of points. It's not going to be a low-scoring football game, Ohio State and that offense. They're going to put up some points. The question is, can Notre Dame go with them, sort of like Utah did in the Rose Bowl at the end of last season? They scored with Ohio State, and they kept it close because they put up a lot of points.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable game that night. So then let's go to Ohio State big picture here for the moment, if we can, as they have this monster game to start their season. A lot of the world is talking about Alabama, they're the best team in the country. Is Ohio State the biggest threat to Nick Saban and Bama this year?
Well, in Columbus, they're saying, is Alabama the biggest threat to Ohio State winning the national championship with Ryan Day this season? There's two really good football teams in the country right now on paper as you go into the season. It's Alabama and Ohio State. And I wouldn't say that people look at, at least from Ohio State's vantage point, they look at it as in, hey, we're the biggest threat to stop Alabama. They actually do look at it the other way around. It is Ohio State's championship to win or lose, and can Alabama slow them down? It'll be fun to watch. Those are the two best teams in the country. And if we get to the end, much like last season, we got to Alabama-Georgia for the national championship. If we get to Alabama-Ohio State for a national championship, the amount of NFL talent on that field will be absolutely fun to watch, an incredible game, and probably the highest level of game that we could ask for in college football this season.
Probably right, including maybe the number one and two picks in the quarterbacks who would both be on the field in that game. Well, I hope I didn't just give Ryan Day and everybody in Columbus bulletin board material. I'm going to put it up there. Oh, that idiot on ESPN thinks that we're a threat to Alabama instead of the reverse. We will see. Joey, I'll see you as we get down the road here. Great to see you and great to have you back. Joey Galloway with us. College football on the way. Again, here's the lineup. I mean, you can't ask for better games than this, right? You got Oregon, Georgia, 3:30 Eastern on Saturday afternoon on ABC. Then you lead it right into the big one Saturday night, Ohio State and Notre Dame. And then on Sunday night, we have a great game for you as well, Florida State and LSU. What will LSU look like under new coach Brian Kelly? We will start finding out Sunday night. You'll see it live on ABC and on the ESPN app. Coming up, back to the NFL. Lamar, say it ain't so. He is all over Twitter. Did he actually choose his next team last night? We need to get some answers, and we'll go in search of them next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and on a day filled with enormous news, Lamar Jackson may have made some himself last night on Twitter. As he goes through this negotiation, we all understand he has a deadline where he's not talking anymore once the season begins, and will he get a new deal, and will he be the highest paid player, and all those questions are out there.
So I just want you to follow this. These are just tweets from random people, from fans. Someone tweeted, so Lamar Jackson's a league MVP and he still hasn't broken the bank. Ravens, you're on the hot seat. Give that man the $250 million guaranteed, right? This guy tweets that. Someone responds to that. Again, these are not famous people. This person named William tweets, he wants more. They already offered that. Lamar Jackson himself responded saying, no, they didn't. So here's Lamar giving you a real-time update on his negotiations. And in case you're wondering if he wanted a real-time update on his emotions, someone posted this picture of Lamar in a Dolphins uniform, and Lamar Jackson liked it. By 2022 standards, that's like the equivalent of like taking out a white glove and slapping you across the face, right? He's telling the Ravens, hey, I like that guy. I like those
teams.
All I
know is at this time, some William out there is just, I'm on get up. I'm on get up right now. My tweet is on get up right out there.
Yeah, so, he's like, take that, Graziano and Shefty and Diana and all of you newsbreakers. I'm the one who got the story directly from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I look this up. Do you know how much time you're required to spend every day on Twitter?
How much?
None.
Zero.
At all. You don't have to do it. I don't know why people don't understand it. You don't have to tweet back at people. This is a bad idea by Lamar Jackson. Like if you're the Ravens and you see this, like one of the reactions is, ooh, maybe we got him. Like maybe he's getting a little antsy. Maybe that helps
coming
us.
Up.
Right?
So,
I know you disagree. Well, you think it's a bad thing.
Because the other side of that, Dan, yeah. If I may. The other side of it is a very good way to send a message with some plausible deniability, sure. Which is to say, I didn't really say that. Yeah, I just posted it on Twitter. I feel like he is sending a message. Hey, world, this is not me not getting this done. Everyone who thinks I should be new highest paid guy, my team doesn't think so. I think Lamar is sending that message.
And fair enough. Look, I mean, I personally believe that if the Ravens had offered $250 million guaranteed, the deal would have been done weeks ago, right?
Sign it.
I take him at his word that they haven't, because why wouldn't you sign that deal if that was offered? So it maybe is a clue to what he's looking for. But it certainly indicates a level of dissatisfaction with where the negotiations stand at this time.
So let's talk to someone who's actually been in these negotiations. Mike T, if you were in a contentious negotiation, which I guess we have to call this at this point, even if it's remained somewhat friendly, and the person with whom you are negotiating is posting stuff like that on social media, what does that do?
Well, you have to over-communicate and say, we are not solving problems by, as Dan just said, going out to social media. The problem with this, Greeny, is it's exacerbated by the fact he doesn't have an agent. So emotions are more inflamed, as Nico mentioned earlier. So if I'm John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, I'm speaking to Lamar as often as I can. But I think the fundamental problem is this. Everybody around the league is saying the same thing. The $230 million fully guaranteed by the Browns is extremely problematic. The Ravens don't want to go there, and Lamar's not going to take less than that. And that's what a lot of people think is the reason the deal's not done.
So what? Then where do you do? I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not a negotiator by trade. Yeah. You are, and I know some people, you know, in the finance world who will tell me, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it comes down to, do you want to do the deal or not?
That's exactly right.
And the Ravens want to do the deal, and Lamar wants to do the deal, we assume. So how do they get from wherever it is they are to where they need to get?
You come up with a deal where both sides can claim victory. Maybe you give him an average per year of $55 million, so he clearly is the highest paid quarterback. The Ravens can claim victory where they don't go to $230 million. So you put something in a deal where both sides feel like it's not ideal, but we both can claim victory.
Nico, the season starts for them in 12 days. Is this a problem?
I mean, it's a problem as far as anxiety is concerned, because when you're a player, you have so many things on your plate, especially when you're a player of this caliber, when you literally have to lead the team and you have to, you know, every day come in and be the leader and be the guy, the most productive guy on offense. So I could see that this could be something that it's affecting maybe your recovery and your sleep and your rest, because you're thinking about your livelihood. You're thinking about the rest of your life. And then you look at other quarterbacks in a position that you came in the league with, and they're, you know, sipping a martini, floating down in their pool, like, hey, I'm good for life. Like, I'm great.
Right.
And Lamar's just like, yo, I was MVP. Like, I've done so much. But, you know, again, I think that it's hard for a player to remove when you have the emotions of doing a deal and you don't have that intermediate agent that's like, hey, like, yeah. We're just going to give it to you the way it is.
It,
you know,
it's
like if I said, Mike, hey, I don't like your jacket, you'd be like, yo, why don't you like my jacket? But if I told, hey, Greeny, tell Mike his jacket's like, eh. I like your jacket, though. I like his jacket.
Can
it's a nice
say
color.
One more thing that just jumped into my head. We've talked about this a little bit today, and this just entered my mind. Do you know, can you imagine being Tua Tagovailoa and seeing that yesterday? You got to be like, are you kidding me?
Well, you got the Tom Brady.
He's got to be used to it by now.
Well, I don't know.
They put 9 million.
Now I got another one. Now, first, Tom Brady was going to come by my team and become the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is the guy everyone's comparing me to. Herbert is the guy they're comparing me to. Now we got Lamar in a Dolphins uniform.
A year ago, it was Deshaun Watson in a Dolphins uniform. This is the life. This is Tua's life at this point.
But this one's unique because, as the graphic showed earlier, he's from Pompano Beach, which is right down close to where the Dolphins play. And when you connect the dots, the Dolphins have had a great offseason. What quarterback wouldn't want to throw the ball to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill? And there's no taxes
in Florida. He said it. Lamar Jackson liked this tweet.
Yeah.
He, by definition, likes the
idea. He looks good. He looks good in that.
He looks good in a Dolphin uniform. If you're Tua, you got to be thinking he just can't win.
Not again.
All right. Tomorrow night on ESPN2 in the app, we got game two in the best of five WNBA playoff semifinals. We got the Sun and the defending champion Sky playing game two of that series. Then you got Sue Bird and the Storm taking on Asia Wilson and the Aces. Seattle leading that series after a 3-point win. WNBA Countdown. We'll get it all started for you at 7:30 Eastern. Meanwhile, First Take's coming up top of the hour. Is Lamar Jackson helping or hurting himself with his new contract questions? Don't miss Stephen A's reaction to the Knicks' pursuit of Donovan Mitchell and the big news from Woj. All that and more. They're 6 minutes away right here on ESPN. All right, don't forget, we got more tennis coming today. After Serena's win last night, we got 11 more hours of coverage on ESPN starting noon Eastern. Primetime tonight, you're going to see Rafa. We also have 4 hours on ESPN2. And as always, you can watch every point streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, before we give way to First Take, I must now ask the most important question of the day. We saw Jalen Rose at his charity golf event again for the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, wonderful charter school. Obviously, he's not a great golfer. Liv is not calling Jalen.
Are we sure he's left-handed?
But here's the question. Which is funnier? Jalen trying to hit a golf ball. Every show.
Mike Tannenbaum.
Nico, which is funnier?
Come on, Nico.
That's funnier.
You did the somersault at the end. That's the best.
We got the pit bars. We put up their heads. Just populate them. We can show you who we all think is funnier.
Jalen's a sad.
The conflict of interest.
There you go.
Tannenbaum is the only one who thinks Jalen is funnier.
Look at Rex. He's laughing.
No, Jalen, see that? I mean, look.
This looks like a guy that the only thing he knows about golf is he watched the first 10 minutes of Happy Gilmore. That's it. Otherwise, he never heard of the sport before.
Again, my favorite part, I don't know how well people know the Flintstones anymore, but if you ever saw Fred Flintstone start a car, that's what Mike Tannenbaum's feet look like.
Yeah,
just flopping like that. It's the best. That one's funnier. Thanks for getting up with us, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
I like your
First
Date
now.
Good sport, Tannenbaum.
All right. See you later.